Let me read from Matthew 11, 28 through 30 before I read the text that I'm going to be preaching from today. These are words of Jesus, and they're very personal words. I hope that you'll receive them as Christ's words to you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And now, these words from Matthew 14. It's a story that follows Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And that's an important context to keep in mind. So we read, beginning at verse 22 of Matthew 14, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshiping him said, "Truly you are the Son of God." And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is living. We thank you that it is moving amongst us right now through your Holy Spirit, speaking to us. Lord, help us to open our hearts to receive what it is you want to tell us and what it is you want to do in us and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shortly after Pam and I were married, we were staying at my parents' house for a visit, and it happened to be the weekend when my nephew, Bobby, was also staying with my parents. His parents, my brother Bob and his wife, had gone away for the weekend, and so Bobby was with us, and I'll never forget what happened one of the nights we were all together. It was right in the middle of the night, probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden, the stillness of the night was just pierced. It was shattered by a scream. And it was my nephew Bobby screaming. And he screamed out just one word. And that word was this: "Somebody." He shouted it as loud as he could. "Somebody." He didn't cry out for grandma or grandpa or mommy or daddy or Aunt Pam or Uncle Jim. You see, he had woken up in the middle of the night. It was dark. He was in a strange room, and he was frightened. And frankly, he didn't care who was there or who could come to him. He just wanted to know, is there somebody there? Is there anybody there that can come and help me and be with me? And so he simply just cried out, "Somebody." A few seconds after I heard him cry out like that, I heard my mom get up from her bed and walk out of her and my dad's room and down the hall, and I heard her go in and start to comfort Bobby, and I could imagine him, her patting him on the back the way she would when I would wake up in the middle of the night and be frightened. And sure enough, very quickly, it got quiet in the room, and Bobby stopped crying, and he calmed down. And then I could hear my mom walk out of the room and close the door, and heard no more noise. Bobby fell asleep. His circumstances had not changed. And yet now he was calm because his question had been answered, and that was, there was somebody there for him. I want to ask you, have you ever felt like Bobby? Or maybe do you feel like Bobby right now? Have you ever been so caught up in a troublesome circumstance that you felt afraid and overwhelmed and utterly alone to the point where you wanted to throw back your head and shout, somebody, wondering if there was anybody there that could come and help you? Now, the good news for God's people when they feel like this is expressed in that psalm that we heard read at the beginning of our service together. God is a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1 says. And when we feel like Bobby, we can also find comfort in these reassuring words of Jesus. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he also said, behold, I am with you always. In other words, Scripture assures us again and again that God is always there for us when we feel overwhelmed and when we feel alone in our troubles. We know that's true. But if we are honest with ourselves, I think we will admit that there are times in all our lives when we wonder if even God can help us through this particular trouble we are going through right now. Maybe you have felt like that at times when you've lost a loved one, or when you've been facing a serious health issue that makes you question this. Perhaps you felt like this when you've lost a job, when a business has been failing, or you're facing some other kind of financial difficulty. Maybe you have wondered if even God could help you when you're going through deep problems in your marriage or in your relationships with your children. Maybe it's been a time when depression has felt so deep that you have wondered if it's worth continuing to live. In times like this, we can feel like we are on a tiny uncharted desert island in the midst of an ocean with no hope of being found or rescued. And if we're honest, we will admit that in times like this, we wonder if even God can come to us and help us make it through. I have to believe that this is probably very much what Jesus' disciples were feeling in this story that I just read. I want you to put yourself in their situation. Imagine yourself in that small boat in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 miles offshore, when a gale blows up. You can't see anything. All the light from the moon and stars is blocked out by the clouds. Your ears are filled with the sound of waves crashing and your companions screaming. You're rowing like crazy, but you have no idea whether you're moving toward the shore or away from it. And the force of the water is crashing over the sides of your boat, and it's threatening to pull you overboard, and the boat is filling with water faster than you and your shipmates can bail it out. Ever, there is a picture of people caught in what would have seemed to them a hopeless dilemma. This is it. And that's why we can all take hope in what these 12 men experience next. In verse 25 of Matthew 14, we read, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea." Now, I think the most wonderful thing about this passage is not the fact that Jesus walked on the water. Don't get me wrong. I believe that's exactly what happened. But the Gospels are full of stories of miracles that Jesus did. Miracles that defied the laws of nature. But I think the beautiful thing about this story is that in that moment, when all seemed utterly hopeless, when it seemed to these men that not even Jesus could possibly get to them and help them, he did. Jesus broke through to them. And I believe from this incident, the disciples learned, and we can learn, that there is no sea that's wide enough, there is no storm that's strong enough, there is no trouble bad enough to keep Jesus from us, no matter what trouble we are facing. And I hope for you that you'll remember this when storms blow up in your life. Remember that there is somebody who can get to you in your trouble, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, maybe for most of you right now, you're saying, well, that'd be a good place to end. That's what I needed to hear, and that's enough. But for some of you, I think maybe there's a further application to this story that will meet you right where you are. And it's an application that is really suggested by some words that tell this story in Mark's gospel. And Mark uses these words to describe what the disciples were doing in that boat in the midst of this storm. And the words he uses are these. He says that these disciples were straining at the oars. Straining at the oars. And I want to suggest to you that that is sometimes, I think, what it feels like to us when we are trying to help other people, when it's them that are in trouble. And we've heard God's call to get out of the boat of our own security and to enter their troubled waters to help them. And sometimes as we're doing that, despite our best efforts, it seems like we're just straining at the oars. We're pulling with everything we have, giving it our best shot, and yet nothing seems to be happening. I want to tell you, as a pastor, there are lots of times I felt like that. And particularly in my first pastorate, when I wasn't used to it, when I entered thinking, well, when people are in help, of course I'm going to be able to help them. And many times, it just felt like, as I tried to do that, it was just like straining at the oars, pulling hard and just feeling like we were getting nowhere. I was reminded of what that felt like a few years ago when I had a dream that came to me just before dawn. And in this dream, I was actually dreaming about a family in that church and their children. And it was a family that I tried to help. And in this dream, I was straining at the oars. Nothing was happening. And I remember getting up and feeling very disturbed, and disturbed with God. And I told God about it. Well, why did you have to wake me up with that dream? I remember going down and eating breakfast. It was actually a Sunday morning. And after that, I went out our back porch, and I was reading scripture and I was praying and I was saying, God, what are you trying to do in that whole thing, in that dream? What are you trying to say to me? And all of a sudden, I started to think about somebody else in that church. Another person with whom sometimes, a lot of times, I felt like I was straining at the oars. Her name was Janice. And Janice was a person who had very deep, serious mental health issues. Bipolar, other stuff going on. And I counseled with her for about 2 of the 4.5 years I was there. And it just felt like nothing was happening. And when it came time for me to leave that church, Janice seemed to be just as troubled as when we had begun to talk together. And I remembered that. And then I remembered what happened about 20 years after that, when I was at another church. It was down in Mercer County. And one of our members was in St. Vincent's Hospital up here. And I went to see them. And I got on the elevator, and I went up to about the 9th or 10th floor. And I started walking down the hall towards the room. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice call out to me. It said, Pastor Jim. And I turned around, and there down the hall was a woman in scrubs pushing a cart, and she started walking towards me. And I looked at her, and I thought, I think I know you, but who are you? And she looked at me, and she drew close, and she said, Pastor Jim, it's Janice. And she said, I'm well again. She said, God healed me. And she said, I want to thank you. She said, I know that when we were talking together all those times through those years, that you must have just been so frustrated that nothing was happening. But she said, it did help. It meant something. It took time. But God has healed me. And I want to thank you. I just want to say to you, there are times in all of our lives when we feel like we're trying to help other people and feel like we're straining at the oars. Nothing's happening. But I want you to know, when you feel like that, that somebody is there and somebody is working through you. And his name is Jesus. He'll always be there for you, and he'll always work through you when you step out of your boat into the troubled waters of someone else's life. Now, maybe for you, the issue isn't, can Jesus get to me? Can Jesus help me? But maybe the question you're feeling today is, why would he? Why would he? Maybe you're feeling like Peter. Maybe you're feeling like, you know, gosh, I have seen God do miracles in my life. Peter had just seen Jesus multiply just these few loaves of bread and few fish to feed thousands of people. He just ain't seen his Lord come across water, walking on the water when he thought he was a goner. And yet, here he is, looking at the waves and sinking down. And I think sometimes we feel like that. Given all that God has done for us, and yet the times when our faith wavers, I think sometimes the problem for us is not, can Jesus come to me, but Why would he? And the passage that you read for us answers that question. Because what it talks about is Jesus in that hour in his life when he was in anguish and feeling alone, when it was totally dark, and not just physically dark, but going through a spiritual darkness like no one had ever experienced. And when he cried out his own somebody, my God, Father, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, what he heard was nothing. Nobody came. And he was allowed to sink all the way down to death. And it happened to him so that when we cry out, somebody, the Father will always be there for us. Jesus will always be there for us. Jesus, in that awful moment, lost the Father's face. And he lost the Father's face so that me and you will never have to. He's always there for you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that right now Jesus' hand is reaching out to us. Lord, it's as if you are extending your hand to us, offering us yourself, and saying to us, I can be there for you, and I am here for you, no matter what in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're feeling, no matter how undeserving you feel, I'm here, and I'm reaching out with my hand. Lord, may we each, in our own way today, reach back to you and grab hold of your hand, hear those words of encouragement and love from you, whatever it is we need to hear. Help us to hear it now in these holy moments. We thank you that you're here with us as we sit in the midst of your body. You are real, you are here, and you're reaching out to us. We thank you for that. In this, what seems like an ordinary time in an ordinary place, being ordinary people ourselves, and Lord, through your power, sanctify it all for your holy purposes, for your saving work, even in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.